Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison, still on the floor of my flat. And here's Dave Cribb, who is on a chair.
Correct. You'd have to guess more details about the chair.
Swivel.
Swivel. Colour?
Yeah. Black.
Black. Very good.
Yeah.
That's it. I can't think of anything else to ask you about it because chairs don't have that much to sort of differentiate them, do they? But yeah, really well done. Really well done.
Thank you. Oh, we're off and running today, aren't we?
Off to a flyer. Are you on your knees or on your bottom?
I'm sat on my bottom. I've not used the expression on my bottom since about 1996.
I know, I don't think I have either. When I came to say it, I thought after all the innuendo with knees in the past, I wanted to not make it like arse-based innuendo as well, so I thought I'd make it.
It's basically
nice and
the most PG of all the terms for a bum, isn't it? I can remember once using the word bum as a child and my mum saying, "Peter, we don't say bum, we say botty." And I can remember even at a very early age thinking, that feels overly prudish. Because bum is pretty much fine, right?
Bum is fine, isn't it? Yeah, I don't think no one's good. Like, I can't imagine hearing a kid say bum. And if a parent shouted at a kid for saying bum, I'd be taken aback, you know?
How do you think, like, a vicar or a nun would refer to a
bottom,
bum?
Bottom.
Do you reckon?
100% bottom, yeah. I don't think they'd say bum. Bum feels too informal for a nun. Or behind.
Behind, you're behind. Backside.
You're behind. You're backside. Backside's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or if you're American, fanny.
Yeah.
Never not funny.
Good. Goodness me. That's a hell of an opening today, isn't it?
Christ, what a tangent.
Shouldn't use the term opening when talking about
Should we talk about Friends? Megan says, "Hi, Dave and Pete. I absolutely love the podcast. I want to request the one where Monica and Richard are just friends. I think all of the plots are really fun, and I really love Joey reading Little Women. It shows how sweet he is when he gets so invested in the Marsh sisters. Everyone reacting to Phoebe's new boyfriend coming out with shorts makes me laugh every time. And even though Monica and Richard always end up being a bit sad, I think it's really fun when Tom Selleck comes back." I agree with all of that.
Same.
Season 3, episode 13, production code 456265. Oh, that's quite nice.
I quite like that. Yeah, that's good, that.
Oh, no, I got it wrong. 465265. That's even better.
Oh, still good.
465265. Yeah. Monica's willpower is tested after running into Richard at the video store. The two decide to just be friends, but soon are more than that. Meanwhile, Joey agrees to read Little Women while Rachel reads The Shining, and Phoebe's athletic new boyfriend accidentally keeps exposing himself through his loose-fitting shorts. I think this is a jackpot, you know? I think it's an absolute jackpot, this.
I have quite a bit to say about his shorts.
Weirdly, a little later. I've got the most notes about him and about that storyline, bizarrely, even though it's certainly the thought of the throwaway one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Considering that plot line is, basically, when you sum it up, just
man's
the fact that
dick keeps falling out.
Yeah, Phoebe's new boyfriend's scrotum is on display. That's it. That's all it is. Yeah. But there's loads to talk about. Anyway, so I think, actually, weirdly, I'd like to start with maybe Monica and Richard. How do you feel about that? Going backwards.
I'll tell you what, the guy working at the video rental store is an absolute dick, isn't he?
Well, I've got a lot to say about the video rental store. One, nice to see a video rental store.
$3 to rent overnight I thought seemed quite cheap. But then I thought, well, there's a lot of sort of physical effort involved in going to get in these Netflix times, particularly.
Yeah,
a lot of physical effort involved in having to go and physically collect a video.
Such a palaver.
Yeah, it is just faff. It's no surprise that got eradicated by modernization, is it?
Well, do you remember the sort of middle ground of the video rental service?
Where you get posted them.
Yeah, which was Netflix's original business model before it went online, where they would post you a DVD. And actually, thinking about it, it's almost as much faff to go to the post box as it is to the video rental store, isn't it?
It's true, yeah.
Like, that seemed like a big advance, but now the idea of even just going out to the post box would just be enough to... I would be the sort of person that gets charged $6.
Yes. You know? Yeah, I think you'd rack up quite a bill.
I would rack up such a bill, just because if it was raining a bit, or if I was a bit tired, or if the dog was lying on me, I just wouldn't go that night. I'd go the next day. But I think Monica should have pushed harder for a discount on that, you know? 802, he was such a prick, wasn't he?
Poor customer service, just not a very nice guy.
Yeah, well, exactly. I'd have reported him to his superiors, actually, Pete. Did you ever have an adult section at the back of your video shop?
Do you know what? My honest answer to that is I don't know.
Well, I'm sure we didn't.
I do. Renting porn, though. Renting porn feels...
absolutely astonishing.
I mean, I understand why you would rent rather than buy, because if you bought a VHS of some porn, then chances are you'd reuse it quite a lot.
It's not a reusable format, is it, pornography, really?
But if you rented you say about whether you can be asked to go out.
Yeah.
If you were so desperate to watch some porn,
yeah,
that you went out to the video rental shop and rented some porn,
yeah,
and got back and it wasn't quite to your taste, you've wasted a wank, haven't you?
Just open a new tab these days, don't you? But back then, that is a lot of... that's a lot of effort, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Christ. Do you think people had more sex back in the day because it was easier than obtaining pornography?
Maybe.
There might be a stat there somewhere. It's not one that I'm very across, but I'd be interested.
But they had the old magazines as well, didn't they?
Yeah, but again, you have to go out and get it, unless you get it on mail order, which feels just a whole level of, you know, strangeness, doesn't it? Anyway, like, this is not about pornography, this episode. I was just very... it was so prominent at the back. It was like drama, comedy, adult, and there's the big black curtain, and it was like the three big genres, you know? Do you want to laugh? Do you want something serious? Or do you want to wank?
Have a tug, yeah. I used to work in, as I've mentioned several times, used to work in HMV. And yep. There was a very small selection of adult films on sale in HMV. But they
really?
Were positioned in the most indiscreet part of the DVD range, directly in front of the till. So if you wanted to buy some porn on DVD, you would be very visible to me and all of my colleagues.
Spontaneous porn, like, oh, Joseph,
not like, no, not like,
it's like,
not like, no, not like with the Wrigley's,
not like
in the
queue.
Batteries. No, yeah, it's fine, sort of fine. In front of there was
with the batteries, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. But it was just on display, sort of a meter in front of.
I see. So you couldn't really browse without being watched. Is
oh,
what you're
if you were browsing the porns. You were well obvious.
Well, that's what Monica and Richard are talking about here, isn't it? They're looking at that guy going, as soon as we move, he's going to go to the porn, as if he's sort of just waiting for the shop to be empty and no one's bright. There's a lot going on there, isn't there?
Do you know what? I do think that's a really nice glimpse at why a really nice glimpse at why oh, fuck's sake. A really nice...
now, one mistake you edit out, two mistakes you have to leave in because okay. It's more fun.
Should I try again?
Yeah, third time. Go on. Third time's a charm.
I do think that that's a really nice glimpse at why Monica and Richard...
Yes. Nailed it. Nailed it first time.
are a really good pair, because that kind of level of being on the same wavelength with someone where you can make daft little jokes about things and just be on each other's, just be on the same page about like all these, like make your own little in jokes and private jokes off the cuff. It is a nice little sign of them clearly being a good match, which is the entire point of this. They've got some significant things that they can't get over together, but they are clearly well suited.
Yeah, there's no point at which you think they either of them broke up because they wanted to. You know, it's actually quite heartbreaking. Like, I feel much more moved by that sort of plot line now in my mid-30s than I would have done when I was like 16. Do you know what I mean?
Like, it's a bit sliding doors, isn't it? Of like, if circumstances were ever so slightly different, then hey, she may actually end up with him forever and ever. Although it does feel very odd to see him without a moustache.
So weird. And his suit's really bad in the video store as well. That whole, when he does his little, I can help with that, as sort of, as suave as it is, because he's very suave, Tom Selleck, isn't he? But it's a bad suit. He's got no moustache. It looks really weird. It was, he shaved it off for a different film, by all accounts. I believe the film was called In and Out.
I did think it's so unusual to see Tom Selleck without a moustache that there must have been a particular reason for it, because otherwise he totally would have had it, wouldn't he?
Yeah, for sure. It does lead to one of my favourite lines, though, when they're having that very serious conversation at the end, and, you know, they're sort of going, this was fun, but nothing's changed. And Monica goes, yes, you don't have a moustache.
Yeah.
And they must have just added that in once it had become apparent that Tom Selleck had turned up without a moustache, frankly. But yeah, it's a huge difference, because, well, he doesn't actually give a reason, does he? It's just a jokey answer. There's not like a reason he shaved it off. Like, that's such a big part of your identity as Richard. That's a big old...
It's his personal brand, isn't it?
Personal brand, Pete. Actually, talking of getting rid of facial hair, do you know what I had? Did I tell you what I had done this week?
Did you get rid of your facial hair?
No, I had my eyebrows threaded.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
And how did that go? Always a bit of a risk. If it's the first time you've done them, tried to apply a bit of shape to your eyebrows, that can go wrong quite dramatically.
It's not the first time.
Just ask Joey.
Yeah, I know. Well, honestly, I had that image in my head all the way through. It's not the first time it's happened, and I was very specific about not wanting it to be like really shaped and you know, dramatically changed. I just had too many strays, you know, when you just go, I can't deal with these anymore on my own.
Fair.
But I did have absolutely the whole Joey thing in my head. I mean, it did make me think, I can't even remember if we've done this episode or not, it did make me think, what a bizarrely bold decision by that practitioner to make Joey's eyebrows so different. Anyway, so back to Monica and Richard. Actually, back before we move away from the video store, where we spent a lot of the start of this podcast, but you mentioned the guy at the counter, who's an absolute dick. He appears in 4 other episodes.
Does he?
Yes. He is in 5 episodes of Friends.
I can't remember any of the
total
circumstances where they're even in the video store.
Well, no, they're
or
not.
Is he
not?
Plays
different people. He plays different people. He's in the coffee house in the one where old Yella dies.
Right.
He is one of the wedding guests at Barry and Mindy's wedding. He's singing Copacabana. He is the man who wins the trip to Paris for two at the silent auction. You know, when Phoebe goes over and goes, I'm going to introduce myself to him. That's him. And in the same series as this, series 3, he's one of the students in Joey's soap opera acting class.
Good friend's insight, that, Dave.
Isn't it just mad, though, that like they could get anyone they want and they've just been like, we'll get that same guy to play all these different roles. And I don't know, maybe he's supposed to be a same character, you know, that could be plausible. He's in the coffee house, absolutely. You work in the video store, you could be in the coffee house, you could be at a wedding, you could, having taken a soap opera acting class, Pete, become an incredibly successful actor that's able to afford a trip to Paris for two in a silent auction. Maybe it's the same guy.
You know, when Monica and Richard are having sort of, they're rekindling, whether they admit it or not.
Yeah.
There's that bit where they're preparing, is it a lasagna?
Tomatoes. Big bowl of tomatoes.
Sort of, the squashing of the tomatoes is made out as if it's really intimate. It's like, you're squashing tomatoes, guys. It's not like the pottery wheel scene in Ghost, is it?
No.
It's not quite that steamy.
It's also implausible why they would both squash the tomatoes in that quite small bowl.
Agreed, yeah.
Like, one of them could squash the tomatoes, probably Monica, the professional chef. As Richard says, this is weird. I don't tend to squash things, but, you know, most of the time. It feels odd, and it doesn't feel odd, I guess, in the sense that she's trying to maybe subconsciously forge some sort of intimate moment, but I just don't think that is tomato squishing. I just don't think it does it.
It's just that they both sort of stop and look at each other intensely, and I think Richard says something like, our hands are touching. It's like, what are you going to do? Like, instantly have sex while you're covered in tomatoes? It's not going to happen, is it?
Well, and Monica's clean instincts kick in when they get a bit of tomato juice on the shirt. I mean,
state of your bedding if you were covered in tomatoes and then went to bed.
Awful. Absolutely dreadful. I mean, if you got tomato juice on your shirt in a situation where you were basically subconsciously trying to forge a sexy moment, don't get the club soda and clean it off. Take your shirt off, Richard. Pop it in the wash. True. Oh, my God, he's naked. Oh, look at him. Oh, blah, blah, blah. He's got some on his pants. Take your pants off. I mean, I don't think that's very sort of mainstream sitcom, the full scene of the striptease because of the tomato juice. But don't just sort of clean it off and be done with it. So, of course, they have sex, because of course they do. And then Richard buys loads of roses and petals and waits in a tux. I mean, sure. And then Monica tries to do the same thing. There's a lot going on here, isn't there?
He's sat very awkwardly on the bed, though. Like, he's sort of propped against some pillows. It's like he's a puppet.
Yes, it is. It really is. I just feel like that'd be very uncomfortable to sit for too long. And he must have been there for quite a while to prepare the bed. And he wouldn't have known exactly when Monica was going to get home.
Well, and also, Rachel's sat in the living room, presumably about to hear Monica and Richard banging.
Yeah, she seems absolutely fine with it, doesn't she? She seems fine with the fact that Tom Selleck turned up in a tux with loads of roses when, frankly, they're barely seeing each other. They've just had sex once after meeting up again, you know? That's quite a grand romantic gesture. And I do feel there's an element of this in which Richard should not be encouraging this because Monica was so heartbroken when he said he didn't want kids. Like, do you know what I mean? He's the older, more experienced. I just feel like he's toying with her a bit with this huge, grand romantic gesture. But then, I'll tell you what the absolute most bizarre moment of this whole episode is the incredibly horny woman Richard goes on a date with, who is desperate to get laid.
She is gagging for it, isn't she? She's sort of, oh, you've not shown me the bedroom yet, and oh, the door's still closed, and oh.
Well, it's sort of implied that she already has pushed her way into the apartment, you know, to, like, Richard's like, it's just a normal apartment, I don't know why you wanted to see it. I mean, he's not taking the hints too much, is he? And then it's like, oh, I'm still on this side of the door, can I see the bedroom? Can I? Pants off, you know, it's all of that. She's like only a second away from getting tomato juice and squirting on a shirt.
Yeah, exactly. The way to Richard's heart.
Yeah. but, you know, it's quite sweet, this whole bit. But then they have the chat and, you know, they obviously decide they have to walk away because the same reasons. But not before a final bonk, eh, Pete?
Well, exactly. One more before they part ways.
One bonk more. And that's the sends that plot line.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So should we move on to Joey and Little Women?
Yes. Joey loving The Shining, which is quite a long, intense book, feels quite unlikely for someone who, by their own admission, is not particularly sort of... I feel like he probably wouldn't have the attention span for any long book.
No, I know exactly what you mean. It feels like if he was going to read a book over and over again, it would be a short, frankly, one that was more aimed at kids, you know? Like, I could imagine Joey reading Harry Potter over and over again, the first Harry Potter or something like that, you know? But not The Shining. It feels a bit grown up, doesn't it?
And particularly to have the sort of book club-esque sensitivity to emotionally respond to things in the books. He's really invested.
Yeah, it's a whole strange plot line when you think about it, then just sort of exchanging cultural recommendations. I quite like it. It's just a bit odd, especially that combination of Joey and Rachel. I mean, they definitely just have to find something for them to do while the others were doing all the other plots. But it's a strange situation to find them in. And like you say, Joey reading a book of that length and that intensity over and over again. Although I can't help but feel he's probably watched the film and sort of skimming the book as he goes, maybe? I don't know. Because even when he's doing the spoilers, all blank and no blank makes blank and blank blank. That's not even in the book. That's just the film. So
Well, Ross makes that joke, doesn't he, about, you're trying to ruin the only book Joey's ever read that stars Jack Nicholson.
Yes, exactly. But it is very wholesome when the moment when Rachel says Beth dies.
Yeah.
I really like Joey's reaction to that. It's so nice. It is so wholesome. And, you know, the whole ending of this where Beth gets sick, or do you want to put the book in the freezer? It's just a nice little fun plot, isn't it? I like it a lot, even though it's a bit odd. And the whole scene with Joey getting confused about who Joe is and who Laurie is and all of that. It's just a nice gentle romp through some literary works, isn't it, Peter?
Oh, that's a lovely way of putting it, Dave.
Well, you know. Although, when Rachel comes in to get some ice and finds the book in the freezer, right? She takes out the ice tray, doesn't empty it in any way, and then just fills it back up with water and put it in the freezer. So, did she get ice? There was no ice in the blender. There was no exchange of ice at all.
Maybe she just held her drink against the ice-cold copy of The Shining to cool it down.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she's just being nice and refilling the ice tray because they've got no ice, but it was just a whole strange little ice interaction. What a strange way of her finding a book. Have you got any ice? Yeah, a book's in the freezer. Favourite line probably of this plot line is Chandler's, "I can't believe she cracked your code." When Joey does the at the end when he shoots him with a blank and blah blah blah, you know, completely ruins the end of the story. In this as well, Rachel's having a blast at work. This is just seeding, I think, things to come. But Ross is being extremely supportive, even though
I feared, because I couldn't completely remember sort of Ross's involvement in this. I was like, oh no, is this going to be one of those ones where Ross is really jealous and quite unpleasant to watch?
Yes, exactly. And it wasn't, was he? I mean, he was a little bit erring on that at the start when he's like, you have to work late again, but
what wins him over?
The promise of a BJP. He's absolutely promise happy to be supportive job. Of his girlfriend's career.
Yeah.
So, yes, you know, you can't say he's not a man that has principles. He is intensely jealous and awful, unless... I don't need to finish the sentence, do I?
No, that's it. That's just it.
So before we do the final plot, which is so much to talk about, as we already discussed, weirdly, this episode is called The One Where Richard and Monica Are Friends. But only in the UK... And now on Netflix, it's called The One Where Monica and Richard Are Just Friends.
Yeah, I did notice the difference when I was trying to look for a little image from it for the old Instagrams.
What's that all about?
Yeah, that feels like a sort of, at one point, somebody's typed it like that and then it's just stuck.
Stuck, yeah. But it doesn't change the meaning at all. There's no subtle, like, English, American English, you know, that sometimes the language means and implies different things. Like the one with the fanny pack, two different meanings. To bring us back to the bums. But, like, friends and just friends, same, right? Anyway, there you go. Just thought I'd flag that up in case anyone else was confused. Right, Robert. Robert's scrotum. Let's talk about Robert's scrotum, shall we?
Well, he has, like, very long, billowing shorts on.
Yeah.
So if he's, as it's described, showing brain...
Mm.
He must have bollocks the size of melons.
The one that really gets me is when he comes in to pick up his keys and at the end.
He and bends Rachel's over. There.
He bends over forwards.
Bends over forwards. In Rachel's behind shorts. Him. And she reacts as if she's seen his bollocks. Like, how? Yeah. They must be
Droopers.
I do not know how that's possible.
No, I honestly, that is... And a couple of other moments, like when Joey says, can you pass me the cookies? And the cookies are on the table and he's sitting down. Who puts their leg on a table to reach forward? That's making it infinitely harder to reach a plate of cookies, right? You have to like double over forward, don't you?
It's almost as if he's sort of knowingly showcasing his massive balls.
Well, yeah, for a man who doesn't wear underwear, he sure does put his foot up on a lot of things. He really has made a life decision that's what his thing is going to be, just putting his foot up everywhere. And how long it takes him to find a quarter in the sock, I just think that's not an efficient way of carrying a quarter around if it takes you that long. I mean, it took him 20 or 30 seconds.
It's as if he's rooting around in his sock for that coin for long enough to ensure that they definitely see his balls.
Yes, exactly. Exactly that. I think he's proud of his massive balls. Well, not even massive, because they're not sort of visible when he stands up through the shorts. They're just long, aren't they? They're not bulbous. They must just be droopers.
But when Gunther wonderfully tells him to put the mouse back in the house...
Yeah.
Mouse, to me, implies penis.
Yes. No, agreed.
I'd say the penis is more mousy than a bollock.
What euphemism would you describe? But it's definitely all ball-based, because he does the nuts gag, there's the don't get testy, they're doing testicle puns all the way through, aren't they, you know? But you're right, the mouse is definitely a penis. I don't know why. I never thought I'd say that sentence. But the mouse is definitely a penis.
A penis is... A penis is inherently quite mouse-like. Flaccid.
I'm going to let you carry on that thought, because I've got nothing to add, but you've clearly got a train of thought.
You greatly, greatly overestimate how much I've thought this through. I would say... because a flaccid penis is quite sort of... dormant.
Yes.
And
like a dormouse.
Like a dormouse. A dormant mouse. A penis is a dormant mouse. Stop talking.
Yeah, I think it's important, but I can't talk because I'm laughing. Oh, God. A penis is like a dormant mouse. Anyway, look, I think it's important that we don't talk too much about it, although this entire plot is very genitalia-based.
Can't talk
it?
About this plot without talking about balls.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. What I like to talk about is the first scene that we meet Robert in, where he comes in and meets Chandler and Ross, right? And then there's a comment about, oh, it's cold for shorts. He says, I'm from California. And then Chandler just says that weird burst into flame line, and Robert just turns away. He doesn't say anything. And there's a weird silence when Chandler notices his balls. Like, as a viewer, it kind of is okay, because we're watching Chandler watch Robert's scrotum, as it were. But if you were actually there, it was such a weird interaction. It's like, oh yeah, you always burst into flame. And he just turns around and talks to Phoebe, and Chandler stares at his crotch. What a weird interaction for the first time. And then Robert's pretty sassy when Ross comes back to do the least subtle looking down the shorts I've ever seen of anyone. But he's like, a coffee and a coffee. And Robert's like, we could write it down for you. It's like, all right, smart ass. You just met him. Chill out. Put your balls away and stop being a dickhead.
Exactly.
That bit where Ross is trying to look up his shorts is just, I mean, there's no way he's doing anything else there. You know, there's no covering up what that is. He tries to sort of double over laughing. But it's just...
Yeah, but it's sort of so farcical that it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, I just think out of the six or seven moments where someone has supposedly seen genitalia, the viewing angles are wrong and it just wouldn't work, you know?
Yeah.
The only one that's really specific is when it's the coin, the quarter out of the sock. That one I get. Like, that's perfect viewing angles. Head height, horizontal... You know, perpendicular knee on sofa, ball would be visible. But the rest of them, I just feel like it's playing fast and loose with the angles of realism.
Fast and loose like his shorts.
Absolutely. I mean, this whole storyline is just Phoebe's new boyfriend doesn't wear boxer shorts, and I'm really here for that. It's great. What I don't understand, and we'll probably leave it there after this because I fear of talking about this for all day. What I don't understand is why Phoebe can't just talk to him about it. It's really not that bad a thing, is it? If that was me, and for some reason... He's obviously made an active choice not to wear boxers, which I would say, Pete.
Oh, no.
What?
Where are you going with this?
No, considering the context in which they met and how they spend most of their time, aka active, no underwear is a bold move for example, playing basketball. There's a lot of movement potential there, right? Like the one time underwear is important is in sports, I'd say.
I think that's fair.
There's a lot of bashing around otherwise, and that's not comfortable for anyone. Anyway, he's made an active decision not to wear underwear. I just feel like Phoebe could be like, what's the deal with your underwear thing? And he'd either be like, well, it's for this reason, or, oh, yeah, no, I didn't realise it was hanging out. I'll put some boxes on. The end. Like, that's all that had to happen.
He knows. He knows.
Of course he fucking knows. Of course he knows. I just don't understand why Phoebe's so coy about saying it, you know?
Yeah, true.
Anyway, so there you go. The only other thing about this plotline I'd like to flag is Chandler and his chocolate milk. I feel absolutely seen. Ross, oh, no thanks, I'm 29. Fuck off, mate. Everyone likes chocolate milk. I'm 36. I absolutely love it. Actually, do you know what I discovered recently? At the age of 36.
Go on.
Chocolate squirty cream.
What? It comes flavoured in the can?
In M&S, mate. Get you next time you get in
your... Oh, would be M&S,
your Diet Florida Orange. Pick up a can. You will not regret this. It's basically the exact taste and consistency of a chocolate mousse, but it's in a squirty can, and it is like crack. It's astonishing. I don't want to paint a unsexy picture of myself because, you know, as you know, we spend a lot of time trying to paint very sexy images of ourselves.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's our thing, isn't it, on this podcast? But yeah, I do just eat the chocolate squirty cream from the can fairly regularly now.
Some people find the idea of that sexy, Dave.
Do they?
Yeah, maybe.
I would like to meet them.
Make sure you're wearing pants.
I got a quarter in my sock and I'm going to get it out slowly. Hey, we've got this last week, Pete.
What, to tell people what the next episode is?
An uproar.
Bizarre that I forgot that, because it's such a fundamental part of how we say bye.
It's so weird that neither of us thought to do it.
Yeah.
And
odd.
We're sorry about that. Anyway, let's make it...
Do you want to know what next week's episode
is? Yeah, and I'd like to make up for last week by saying the episode twice this time.
Okay. It's season five.
Season five. I'm going to repeat it to make up.
Episode 15. Episode 15. Do I still have to say it twice?
No, I'm doing it for you. It's fine to play.
The one with the girl.
The girl. Oh, hang on, let me guess. Who? Oh, Hits Joey.
Hits Joey, yeah.
I was going to say from Poughkeepsie until you said who. So, yeah. One with the girl who hits Joey. Katie.
Follow us on Instagram, FWF Pods.
And Peter, good luck with your house move. This time next week, I believe, we'll be talking to you from Birmingham.
Yes. The second city. Yes, you will.
Yes, it is technically the second city, isn't it? But as a Manchester man, I feel aggrieved by that.
Oh, let's not go there.
No, let's not go there. Well, like, Liverpool's really doing the business at the moment, isn't it, with Eurovision?
It is. It's true. Yeah, it's having its moment.
Anyway, it's good to trail off an episode talking about which is the second best city in the UK, isn't it?
Just end it. Bye.
Bye. See you later.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.